Okay. Hello again, and welcome to another NABBW teleseminar on a topic we boomer women really want to know about, how to stop feeling like we're invisible to the world. Specifically, how can we present our best selves to the world looking and feeling 15 years younger? And I'm sure the first question on anyone's mind when they hear this is, without resorting to plastic surgery, Anne, how could this even be possible? Well, as I alluded to there, my name is Anne Holmes. I'm your moderator for this call and the Boomer-in-Chief of the National Association of Baby Boomer Women, an organization dedicated to educating and empowering women at midlife. This call, like those we do every month, is one of the ways we serve our membership. Today, we are speaking with Lee S. Irwin, a former occupational therapist who experienced a big aha moment in 2001 and suddenly knew it was time to end that gig and find her higher purpose in life. She succeeded, and what we'll find out more about today is how what she's going to call SPARK, looking and feeling 15 years younger. Lee rebranded herself as the Fountain of You expert. Today, she helps women look and feel 15 years younger so the rest of your life is the best of your life. And along the way, she says, you'll also learn how to add hours to your day, subtract what's weighing you down, divide your workload, and multiply your reserves of energy, which sounds like quite a trick of multiplication, addition, and subtraction there, Lee. A successful six-figure international coach and speaker, Lee has helped hundreds of women over the past 15 years. She's also put some of her information into two books. She's authored the book Play for Life and creator of two popular courses, Time Abundance for Women and her signature program that I've alluded to earlier, SPARK. Lee donates 10% of her income to nonprofit programs that empower women and girls. And to all of you listening, I first met Lee last spring, and I wanted to bring her on a call today and introduce her to you because with all of her upbeat energy, she's just a true inspiration to me, and I wanted to share her inspiration and energy with the rest of you. So that said, let me start by saying thank you for joining us today, Lee.
Oh, thank you, Anne. I'm so pleased to be here with you and all the women who are listening. I really love what you're doing. I found you on Facebook, actually, earlier this year, and I'm just thrilled to see what you're putting together for women, the inspiration you're providing, and the really deep, wonderful information. You know, we love information. We love to teach ourselves and grow and learn and just be the best we can be. And I really appreciate everything you're doing and the community
you've
built.
Yeah. Well, thank you. It's kind of the same thing that happened with me that happened with you. I had interest in baby boomers. Was really an interest in women plus 50. I got interested in them when I was in grad school studying communication, and I was curious whether women that were plus 50 received and utilized information differently than did the traditional 18 to 49 demographic group that all the marketers are always talking about. So I did my research on that. At the time that I interviewed 100 women, I called them my little old ladies. And I am so sad that I did that because I am not a little old lady, and you know, none of us are. But I was
right.
I was stupid back then. I didn't understand that 50 plus was something, someone who could be vital. So that leads me right into talking about what you're all about. And let's start by asking the first question that I'm sure people ask you all the time is, why do you call yourself the Fountain of You expert?
Oh, I love that question. It's it was one of those beautiful little gifts that life gives us sometimes. I just happened to be talking to a young man, and he, you know, we got to know each other a little bit one day at a conference, and he said, Lee, how old are you? And I said, well, how old do you think I am? And he said, he guessed, you know, a number. I think he said I was 48 or something. And I just laughed, and I said, no, I'm a little older than that. And he, you know, like 15 years older. And he said, oh, my gosh. He said, you want to work with women? You should be the Fountain of Youth, Y-O-U-T-H, expert. And I said, yeah, well, maybe. I'll think about it. And I went downstairs to get a cup of coffee, and while I was standing in line, it just came to me. You're the Fountain of You expert.
Excellent.
So, Yeah.
I like to listen to those little messages when they come to me. I'm not sure exactly what we want to call that source that sends us these kind of things, but whatever we call it, that voice is always worth listening to. So I'm glad you heard that.
Yes, I did. And so, you know, just like the Fountain of Youth promised, what, ageless life, or, you know, anybody mm-hmm. who drank out of that fountain would feel younger, and that's what I do. But I do it by helping women find that, you know, that deep well of vibrant energy that's inside, and mm-hmm. that comes when we say yes to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm on a mission to do, to help people, help women, you know, find that well inside so they can live courageously and, you know, really inspire themselves and the people around them.
Excellent. Well,
yep.
Since I'm a little
bit... want to tell you what you. I know you've heard this quote, but it's one of my favorites. Maya Angelou said,
mm-hmm.
"Pursue the things you love doing, and then do them so well that people can't take their eyes off of you."
Oh, I love that.
Isn't that great?
I love so many of the things that she said. I wish I had that talent with words. But speaking of your Fountain of You and pursuing what you need to be pursuing. Let's tell the people listening to our call, what makes you the right person to be talking about looking and feeling younger?
Well, that's actually a funny question, because I'm really not the – I am the right person, but let me just tell you why I'm an unlikely person.
Okay.
Because I've never really been into fashion or worn much makeup. I mean, I wear a little bit – my mother
mm-hmm.
made all my clothes when I was growing up, and I always felt like I wasn't really in style like the other girls.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, they would buy their little villager dresses, and
sure.
I would have a handmade one, but it didn't look quite the same. So that, and then my hair started turning gray when I was 21. I was teaching Montessori preschool, and I was like, oh, my gosh, what is this? It's a gray
mm-hmm.
hair. So I tried dyeing it later on, you know, in my 30s, but it never really felt like me. So I just let nature have its way. And, you know, I was completely
mm-hmm.
silver-haired by the time I was in my early 40s. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm just in my, you know, I don't fit the typical picture of somebody who's all about beauty and fashion and, you know, looking, I don't
mm-hmm.
know, I don't know that. So,
right.
Yeah, so then when I was about 49, my life took a huge U-turn. I was an occupational therapist, like you said. I was working with children with disabilities in school systems. I had a very successful business. And then I hit menopause.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what was happening, but those mood swings, I was up all night, you know, I didn't
right.
know why. And I remember there was one especially bad month when I had a little red Toyota station wagon I just loved. And I took it on vacation. And while I was in the hotel, the car caught on fire. And the firemen were knocking on the door saying, you know, your car's on fire. Somebody's car's on fire. And it was mine, and it burned to a, you know, to a blob. And
mm-hmm.
The next week, I was picking up a child to put her in her wheelchair, and it ruptured a disc, and so I was in the hospital, and I don't know. It was a really bad month. So
I can imagine all of that in one month would be daunting to most
people. It was not pretty, but it was really
mm-hmm.
just a symptom of the fact that I was living what I call manic compression, you know, cramming
mm-hmm.
too many things into one day. And I
mm-hmm.
was chronically tired, but also, you know, kind of wired up, drinking
mm-hmm.
a lot of coffee, eating a lot of sugar, just trying to get enough energy to keep going. And
right.
it's, you know, I was ready to have a come apart, and I did have a come apart
mm-hmm.
from all the stress. So I know what it's like to feel bad about myself every day, to live for other people, and really what I was trying to do was just get the love and acceptance I didn't know how to give myself.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to hear the rest of the story?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Oh, sure, she says. So what happened was, that was the breaking point. That was the bottom of the U, I guess, except mm-hmm. I also broke up with my boyfriend I've been dating for 8 years. I left my lucrative career as an occupational therapist, and everybody told me I was crazy. It's like, well, Lee, what are you going to do from here? And I would say, I have no idea. I just know that there's something more. There's something else calling me. I just don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like you said, well, what do you call that thing when you get a gift or a message? I call it my internal GPS.
Okay.
And it was telling me there's something else. There's a bigger way that you are meant to show up in the world. But I was scared to death. I mean, I'm kind of a shy person, or always had
mm-hmm.
been. And
right.
I had, you know, what was I going to do? Who did I think I was? You know, all that stuff that goes on in our heads sometimes when we step out and, you know, think about
mm-hmm.
doing something bigger.
Right.
So one morning I woke up and just the radio happened to be on. I don't remember turning it on, but it was on right by my bed. And the president of the International Coach Federation, a woman, was being interviewed on the radio. And I sat up in bed and said to myself, that's what I want to do. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never heard of coaching. So I
mm-hmm.
researched, you know, all the schools, enrolled in a coach training program, and started coaching anybody who could fog a mirror. And along the way, over the next several years, while I was building my business, I would be on my knees in tears. You know, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? And the next day, I would, you know, two new clients would call.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my sign, you know, yes, keep
right.
going.
Keep going,
but
right.
I was really struggling, and a lot of times I thought about throwing in the towel, you know, getting a regular job, but I just kept taking the next step and making mistakes, falling down, getting back up, you know, and just kept going. And I, you know, this is getting kind of personal, but I think, you know, I trust you, and
mm-hmm.
I know that anyone listening is, you know, it's safe to share this with. I struggle with an eating disorder, with depression, and I had migraines probably every week or two. I would have a
mm-hmm.
migraine that had me, you know, in a dark room for several days.
Right.
So I just started doing a lot of research and trying to, you know, talk to doctors. Bought a lot of, you know, spent thousands of dollars on programs and supplements, trying to feel better, trying to get
mm-hmm.
my energy so that I could pursue this thing that seemed like it was my calling. But I just didn't have the energy to do it. So it really had been about a 10-year journey that I was on, 49 to, I don't know, maybe 56 or 7.
Mm-hmm.
I would say,
okay.
until I figured out the pieces, like all the puzzle pieces that go together to really help a woman feel and look the way they want to be, the way they want to be showing up in the world as vibrant, engaged, present,
mm-hmm.
and committed to something bigger. So.
All right. That's
yeah.
very important. I was going to ask you, why is it important for women to be their most radiant and confident selves? I think you've given us a little bit of the answer there. But let's talk about it in more global sense and how it worked for you, but then let's take it on to women and all women.
Sure. You know, what I believe is that this time in history on our planet is a beautiful opportunity for women to claim our innate power,
mm-hmm.
because I see us as the leaders of a new way of living life. You know, there's starting to be changes in business, in corporations, in environmental awareness, how we do business, how we raise our children. And when I see women as part of that, you know, what some people call a paradigm shift.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it's really up to us to be the best version of ourselves. so we can model for our daughters, our granddaughters, younger women at work, our sisters. You know, I have a sister who's 8 years younger, and she, you know, watches what I do. So does my niece. You know, they want to know what it looks like to be strong and confident and comfortable in our own skin. So it's a different way, you know, not an aggressive way, not a forceful way, but it is powerful. And, you know, I believe we can live in a world where every woman is the best version of their infinitely powerful selves and where we bring life to every situation. So when we walk in a room, we're radiating energy and confidence, and we can light up the room. We can bring life to other people and help inspire them and lift them up. That's why I think it's important for us to be our best selves.
Wonderful. And certainly I find my mind deviating a little bit off of our main topic to wonder, you know, when you're talking about this time in history, you know, that, you know, takes my mind to where I don't want to go right now, the politics, the fact that we have a woman on both Republican and the Democratic sides right now contending to be, you know, a nomination for running for president. I think that's, you know, adds to that time factor that you're talking about. So, getting away from the politics part of it, because I really don't want to go there, let's talk about why is your work so important now?
Well, this builds on what I just said, because the world needs women who have come alive. And, you know, Hillary and Carly, they're symbols. You know, there are some very prominent women now. I believe that some of them are using more of the masculine, you know, their masculine side. So, you know, they're showing us what it looks like to step up, go big, and maybe that's not, maybe we'd like to use a little different style than that. You know, they have to be aggressive and to compete on that stage. But, you know, I just think that companies are going to shift to more life-sustaining practices because women bring a holistic view. We're the ones that bring children into the earth, into the world. So we know, you know, some of us do and some of us nurture other children. We know what it's, why it's important. So, you know, it's not, I don't think that women need to stand by while other people pass them by. I stand against women thinking that there's something wrong with them. And what I really want is for women to surround themselves with excellence, with beauty, and put themselves first.
You know, that's a very important statement that you make, because I think we're raised to be putting ourselves last. You know, I think that we were raised that we have to put our husbands first, our significant others first, our children first, and then if there's any time left, then we can take it for ourselves. And I when you were telling your story of how worn out you got, I and living on coffee and sweets, I've been there too. So I know what you're talking about. I have felt that feeling, and I know it was because, you know, I didn't feel that I had permission to put myself first. I felt that everybody else has to take precedence. So
And that is so common. I mean, it's one of the most common things people say to me when they first talk to me, you know, about coaching. When they talk about their life, you know, the first thing they say typically is how long their to-do list is. They're not even they nowadays some women, you know, do put themselves on the to-do list, like, well, I should exercise, you know, I should, you know, whatever, you know, all the lists, you know, go to yoga, or, you know, I should meditate, or, you know, all those things that we know are good for us. It's, but it's an internal knowing, like you said, give yourself permission. Nobody else is going to give us permission.
Right.
Nobody else is going to take care of us the way we need to be taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So if we wait for somebody else to say, now, you know, you really, it's time for you to stop.
I've got a question that I wasn't planning to ask you, and is so you're probably not going to necessarily be expecting to hear this one. But,
no, I, love
but I was talking to my daughter the other day, who's about 38, 37, 38.
Mm-hmm.
So I've kind of lost track of where she is, but close to 40. And she's in a period in her life where she's needing to make a decision about leaving the job that she's at and going in a new direction. And so she was talking to me the other day. Well, actually, she was texting with me, so I didn't really, you know, get to hear her voice. But she
right.
was saying, so she had done this. She had applied for three different jobs, and then she said, so now I'm going to go work out. And I was thinking, she said, I'm just really tense. I'm stressed. I don't know if I filled out the application to the best of my ability, because it's been, I mean, she's been at the job that she's at for 15 years or something like that. It's been a long time since she's put herself out there to apply for a job, you know. So anyway, she applied in one day for three jobs, and then she goes, okay, I'm going to go work out. And I was thinking, yeah, that's probably a really good thing for her to do, because the physical exercise will help with that stress that she's put herself into. So I was wondering, you know, she didn't say, I'm going to go eat some cookies and have coffee
right.
like I would have done.
Right.
So
yes.
Does that mean that our younger women in our, you know, that we know in our lives might be smarter than we are about this?
You know, that is such a great question. And don't you love it that your daughter, and I think she represents a lot of women, her, you know, in that generation.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've learned from seeing us, you know,
right.
baby boomer women burn the candle at both ends, you know, believe or try to live that whole thing about you can bring home the bacon fried up in the pan and never, you know,
mm-hmm.
disappoint your man or whatever that
right.
thing was. You know, that we did think we could have it all. That
mm-hmm.
was the message we were getting from every corner, and we believed it,
right.
and we, you know, have about worn ourselves into a frazzle over
right.
that. So I think they saw that and said, whoa, wait just a doggone minute. That doesn't look so good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and probably in a lot of ways we could model what they're doing, because they are more cognizant of the, you know, their needs emotionally, physically, and they're asking for it in the workplace, and they're asking for it at home. They're asking for
mm-hmm.
a bit more help than we ever got. So, yay for you. You raised a great daughter.
Well, I think that she might be, you know, not solely the person of the younger age that might look more to the needs, to the physical needs. I have another young woman, a former girlfriend of one of my sons, who she says that she lives for running, that running just mm-hmm. is her solace, that when everything gets too stressful for her, you know, she runs and that helps her get things worked out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, me, I hate the concept of running. That, you know, I will go work on a treadmill, but running, that's not a
yeah.
thing that I would do. So I don't think my daughter is unique. I'm just curious if younger women have learned, maybe it was Title IX or whatever it was that,
mm-hmm.
that involved girls in the sports more. Maybe that's where it comes from. But let's get back to our baby boomers, and let's ask you this question. What are the most common complaints that you hear from the women of the baby boomer generation?
Yeah. Oh, boy. You know, it's funny. I got curious about that a couple of years ago, and I just started asking women,
mm-hmm.
you know, what's slowing you down, standing in the way, or stopping you? And they pretty much, I'll tell you the one thing they all said in just a minute,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of them, here's the handful, they said, what's slowing me down or stopping me are distractions. You know, sometimes I distract myself, and sometimes it's external distractions. Self-doubt, me getting in my own way, fear, and perfectionism. That's the that's the deadly five. And the one thing they all told me without exception was, I am so tired all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't have the energy. And as they are, you know, the older they are, the more they say, I don't have the energy I used to have.
Right.
Yep. So, you know, we're walking around with all these stories about what we're capable of or not, and
mm-hmm.
how somebody else is better than we are, you know, comparing ourselves to other people. You know, who do I think I am to even try this? You know, those were all things I believed and I hear from other women. But that thing, you know, about just being just like, I can't even think about doing that because where would I have the time? Where would I have the energy to do that?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, don't you talk to a lot of women who think about starting a business or, you know, reaching out or contributing? You know, we've learned so much. We have so much life experience and wisdom. We have so much to offer. And we're, you know, maybe thinking about, where could I share my gifts? Where could I give back? And then the next thought is, but when?
Right.
And how? I mean, don't you hear that from women?
I do hear that. There's, there are, you know, so many ways that we self-impose. We've got, you know, I don't exactly have the right word, things that we've got to do that we tell ourselves we've got to do, which means that we don't have room to do things that we would love to do. And yet, if we would talk to someone and speak what we're internalizing and telling ourselves, we might actually realize that it's idiotic what we're saying, and we would say, well, you know, I don't have to make, well, like, for example, to tell a story on myself, I have a Norwegian stepmother. Well, she's a former stepmother, but one of my stepmothers is a Norwegian woman, and she taught me that Norwegian women make 7 kinds of Christmas cookies at Christmas. That's
wow.
required. A good Norwegian housewife, housefrau, will make 7 kinds of Christmas cookies. And
wow.
I used to go to a party that she would hold the Saturday after Thanksgiving, and she would invite all of her friends into her wonderfully big, sunshiny kitchen, and we would get together. We would all bring 7 tins, and we would spend the afternoon making these cookies. Now, don't get me wrong, Lee, it was not a total drudge thing.
Yeah.
There was sometimes a male stripper showed up.
And no,
there was
kidding.
Fun things that happened at this event that she had to liven it up. But we made 7 kinds of cookies, and then we, you know, each of us might make one, but we all, she had like multiple ovens in her kitchen, so we could, you know, make all these cookies at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
There was wine that was involved while we made the cookies. Even if there wasn't strippers, there was always, you know, good food and wine that was there. But at the end of the day, we all had 7 kinds of cookies. And so when she got to the point of age where she was no longer able to host the cookie-making party, and so I started making the Christmas cookies on my own at home, I was, you know, telling myself, I have to make 7 kinds of Christmas cookies because it's what I do. You know, then the last Christmas, I brought them to the Christmas at my dad's house, and people were saying, you know, I can't eat those. That's just, you know, that's not... They're full of butter and sugar, and, you know, I just can't eat those. And I'm thinking, so I slaved for a week to have people say, oh, these look delicious, but I can't eat them. So you know, I was making myself crazy about something that seemed like it was an important thing.
Yeah.
Because at one time I had fun with it, but I'm thinking that maybe this year it's going to be let go. This year I'm going to drop it and say, you know, nobody is going to miss it, I don't think, if I only show up with 1 kind of cookies.
Right. Yes. And, you know, that there's something so freeing about that. And what you had to do was interrupt that pattern of thinking, I have to, I should, this is just what I do, this is who I am. It's really part of my identity, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, that's what that's what I see happen over and over with the women I work with. Like you said, once they start hearing themselves say out loud in a safe place what's really going on for them, they can hear themselves. And they go, whoa, wait a minute. You know, that's not working for me anymore. You know, what can I do differently? And then we brainstorm, you know, about what, you know, what is something that they could do different? What is really calling to them? What would help them, you know, feel more in alignment with their values, more in alignment with what they know, or what they're finding out they really want for themselves. In often in a new chapter, you know, they've retired, the children have left, you know, some maybe they've gotten a divorce or remarried. You know, those big life changes, that's a good time to say, let me take stock and see, you know, what's happening here. And what do I really want? So, and if we're tired, you know, it's really hard to think about those big things. And even take your head up out of the cookie dough.
Right, yes. Well, when I started introducing you, you know, I talked about how we can present our best selves to the world looking and feeling 15 years younger, and then I said, you know, probably everybody's thinking, well, that would require plastic surgery. So I know that you don't talk plastic surgery at all, so, but let's talk a little bit about the concept of looking and feeling younger and your feelings about the beauty and the fashion industry. Let's go there.
Okay. you want me to talk about what makes me mad about that?
Well, mad and crazy, whatever, yes.
Yes. Kind of cray-cray about that. What I see and what I've really seen all my life, you know, all the messages about you're ugly if you don't wear this kind of clothes, whatever's in fashion. There's, you know, you're not good enough if your body doesn't look this certain prescribed way, which...
Right.
You know, now it's all airbrushed and photoshopped, and it's just, you know, ridiculous. Nobody looks like that. Or you need to work out every day. You know, you have to go on a crazy diet.
Right.
Or there, and really the overall picture, which is, it's, you know, it's what's so damaging to women, to all of us, is there's something wrong with you. You've always thought there might be, and yes, we're here to tell you there is, and, you know, you have to work harder to try to fix it. And that's what I think is damaging to women. They're all lies, and it actually, you know, it makes us feel beaten down.
Sure, it makes us feel like we're not good enough if we don't wear the you know, prescribed makeup, or if we don't wear the latest style of clothes, you know, then you know, it does feed into that concept of that we're lacking, that we're not quite as good as the others that are able to wear those.
Yeah, so, you know, I like to talk about women. A lot of things, you know, of course we all want to look our best. And there are ways to just make a few simple changes in our, you know, what we're putting on our bodies, like not wearing sweatpants and a big sweatshirt when we go out. You know, go ahead and put on a little lipstick. And the two things I recommend are pay attention to your eyebrows and your lipstick. So it's not too harsh. It's not, you know, stay away from bright red, especially as, you know, we have more and more birthdays. And really pay attention to your eyebrows. I don't know about you, but I started losing a lot of my eyebrows. And so when I was, you know, I guess when I was in my early 50s, and I've had to, you know, figure out some tricks so that I actually look like I have eyebrows now.
Right.
And it makes such a difference because your eyebrows frame your whole face, really. And I have a before and after picture of myself, and it's striking what a difference it makes. And so now, you know, I know how to do it in, I don't know, less than a minute. And, of course, you know, swipe the lipstick on while I'm in the car. But I feel better. I feel more confident when I've done those two things. And, you know, leave my yoga clothes at home. Actually, today I'm in my yoga clothes. Yesterday I got all dressed up to meet with a physician who's a client in her office. But today I'm wearing my yoga clothes and I'm in my home office. So where was I going with that? Oh, that when I do go out, at least, you know, I've done my eyebrows and lipstick.
Right.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, given that information, what do you recommend that we do about all the lies and stories that are coming at us every day, whether it comes from the beauty industry or whether it comes from commercials on TV or people that we run into?
Yeah, it's, you know, it, probably we're bombarded with about 1,000 messages, you know, maybe 2,000 at this point, from TV, internet, you know, our cell phone, radio, all other people, magazines, all of that. I really recommend one thing is thinking about optimizing your environment, and that means what is coming into your, what are you listening to, who are you talking to, what are you reading, what are you watching, and really kind of do a throw out the trash.
Okay.
Around all of that, and be sure that what you're listening to and reading, there's so much that's positive, that's uplifting, that's inspiring for women now these days. Like Dr. Christiane Northrup is one example. Brené Brown, all of those are, you know, messages that are positive. And who are the people you're hanging out with? You know, are they critical of you, or are they uplifting? Are they supportive of you? Do they help you feel like, you know, the fabulous woman that you are? Do they notice your gifts? So really contradicting those lies. And so that's one. That's just one idea. I have a lot. We could probably talk about this subject all weekend, you know, what to do about those, what to do instead of those things that they're telling us. So actually what I've done is put together a webinar for women that I'm going to be doing later in October where I talk about the lies and what to, how to counteract those, you know, what to do instead to really nurture ourselves. Yeah.
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, okay. Well, actually, it's there's three parts. I'm going to talk about the three biggest lies we've been fed that keep us looking and feeling older than we are. I'm going to teach everyone a secret backdoor way of feeling 15 years younger that doesn't, you know, doesn't take Botox or money or even makeup. It's just a fun way that you can do in less than a minute. And I'm also, because Meryl Streep is one of my idols, you know, I just, I love her.
I do too.
Don't you love her? She's just amazing. I saw something on the internet yesterday that was negative about her, and I said, I'm not even going to look at that. I think that's a story they've made up about her. That can't be true. Yeah, but she has three timeless beauty secrets, shortcuts. And I really want to share those with women. I thought they were so interesting. So we're going to talk about that. And I'll talk a little more about my Spark program as well. So there are five steps to that that I've developed, you know, from the hard time, from the, you know, the bad 8 years.
Right. Excellent.
Yeah. So I'll
go ahead.
Well, I was going to say at the end of our conversation, I can tell folks how to sign up for the webinar.
Excellent.
If they're interested. Yeah.
Oh, we will insist that you do that. So, but before we get to the end, what would you say is the one biggest result women get from working with you?
Let me think. What is the one thing people say? Their biggest aha. Well, besides the fact that they, well, this is, I think it's related. I know it is.
Mm-hmm.
They say, you know, I feel like things are possible for me now. I can see, I feel hopeful. And I feel like I have the energy to go out and do the things that I want to do. So to me, that all that says is the big secret to looking and feeling younger is doing what makes you come alive.
All right.
So, you know, we're smart. We know this on some level, but mm-hmm. we get distracted by those, you know, those messages we were talking about. And, you know, we start believing we have something to be ashamed of or we have to work harder. But the truth is, if we just focus on, and that's one part of my Spark program, is identifying what our soul on fire desires. You know, what does your heart really desire? And take
mm-hmm.
time to stop and think about it and really know that for yourself. So it's you know, it's a handful of core desires.
Mm-hmm.
And that is like a focus plan for your life. So once you know those and we dive deep into it and, you know, figure out what those are for you, they're different for every woman. And once you know those, then that's your direction. That's like your
mm-hmm.
Yellow brick road that you can follow, or like your lighthouse. You know, you're
okay.
following that light, that particular color that's your color, and that's how you make choices about the people you're around, about the clothes you're going to wear, about what you're going to do, what you're going to eat, you know, and how you're going to spend the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
So beauty is an inside job. That's what I
All
think
right.
that's what they come up with by the time we're finished working together.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that people, the women that you work with, have a hard time getting to that kernel of who they are, that kernel of what where they?
Yeah, you know, everybody is unique, and some
mm-hmm.
people come to it more quickly. Everyone I work with, I'm selective about who I work with. I just work with the people I that I really enjoy working with, you know. So
mm-hmm.
they have to have a certain level of self-awareness, and really a high level of commitment to themselves. So I expect
mm-hmm.
them to show up, you know, show up for themselves and be willing to try things. So some, you know, for some it takes a little longer, but really what I've noticed is in just the first couple of sessions, women are feeling more confident. People around them are starting to remark that they're different, and
mm-hmm.
I'm able to get them pretty quickly into a state of not so reactive to what's going on around them, but more in a place of peace, so
mm-hmm.
that they can make choices from that place,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense.
It does.
It's a little vague,
I
know, but more like having their own inner compass instead of being
right.
drawn in so many, you know, pulled in so many directions
right.
with other people's needs and other people's agendas for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pretty much everybody, your husband, your children, your boss, you know, if you've got a boss, the people around us like to have an agenda for us.
They
and,
do.
And just helping the women figure out, you know, what do they really want? And most people, you know, if you ask, what do you really want there? They haven't really asked themselves that.
That's what I was suspicious of. Because I know when I first had to sit down and say, what do I really want? And for me, it was precipitated by the fact that I got fired from a job, which I didn't want to have anymore, but I've been holding on to it because it was a job. You know, the owner and I had a major disagreement, and so he decided that he was going to close the marketing department. a month after I left, he opened it again, so that was kind of bogus. but he told me that there was no position for me anymore because he was closing the marketing department, and so essentially I was fired. And so I told my husband that I had to sit at home like for at least a week, probably 2 weeks, and I had to just think because I had to focus and try to get myself to a quiet place where I could start to try to figure out, well, okay, I've been given this opportunity. I chose to look at it as an opportunity.
Yeah,
but, you know,
good.
what am I going to do now?
Uh-huh.
And but it was a very challenging time for me. So I understand that it would be for most women of our age. So I think, based on the fact that you and I have talked before this, I think that had you been around in my life at that time, you know, I would have contacted you and said, I need to talk to you about some one-on-one coaching, Lee, because I think that you can help me figure this out. So
mm-hmm.
I know that you work one-on-one with women in private coaching, and you know, I've had a private coach in the past. I've done private coaching. I know the huge benefits that private coaching offers, but I also know that there are people that say that they don't see that that kind of a thing, private coaching, fits into their budget. So
mm-hmm.
is there anything that you have as a way to help women that need a more budgetary way to get coaching?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And let me just say that you taking that week to, you know, mm-hmm. your husband, telling your husband, I just need some time to think about
mm-hmm.
what's happening here and what the opportunity is and where I'm headed now was brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
You were using your inner coach, you know,
okay,
to guide yourself, and a lot of people, you know, don't come to that. They
mm-hmm.
they might go into, you know, oh, I've got to find a job. Let me just find a job, you know, without stopping to think about it beforehand.
Well, it was really hard for him to hear me say it because
ooh,
he wanted me
really?
To go find something. Go find something. Yeah. And I said,
get
no, 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 no. I don't want to get from the frying pan into the fire. You know, I need to make sure that whatever I'm going to do now is the right thing.
And what did you do next?
I decided that the argument that I had with the owner of the company was because we were an advertising agency, and I was the head of the marketing department for the agency, and I had been telling him that we needed to start working with interactive technology, which this was long enough ago that I was talking to him about we needed to include blast faxing, if you can remember way back when we did blast faxing. I needed,
but you
I,
were way on the cutting edge.
I was, and so he thought that he said, if it ain't broke, don't, you know, we don't need to fix it,
mm-hmm.
you know, everything. And so that was our major disagreement, and because I kept telling him that there has to be our use, we have to use things like email, and he asked me, like, what is email?
You know,
I said, well, it was, you know, a long time ago. It wasn't like if someone said, what is email today? But
right.
I thought, and I finally decided, okay, I've always thought that sometime I want to own my own company, but
mm-hmm.
I come from an entrepreneurial family. My father had worked as he's an engineer, and he had worked for many years for corporate organizations like Oscar Mayer as a staff engineer or lead engineer or whatever they call these people. But he decided that he was going to go out and be a consulting engineer and be his own boss.
Mm.
And I felt that if I was going to go out and do my own company, there had to be some way that I could differentiate myself from the other public relations or marketing or advertising agencies. So I decided to use that point that had caught me fired. You know, I said, okay, we are going to be a company that goes in and explains to businesses why interactive marketing can help them. However, I was so early on the cusp that it was kind of challenging because people would say to me, like, what are you talking about? You know, it wasn't like now where people come to us and say, to my husband who still does web design and interactive marketing things, I run the NABBW, but he still is working in that area. But, you know, now people come to him and say, I need this. But
yes.
I was so early on that I had to explain
edge.
To people why they want this.
Uh-huh.
But that was what I got out of the sitting for myself for a week, was that don't go and find somebody to hire me, you know. Yes, I've got credentials and people would hire me, but this is my moment where I can say, okay, I can be the that if I start my own, if I hang out my own shingle, this is how I would be different.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I got out of it.
Wow. Awesome. So thank you for firing me.
Yes.
Eventually, you could say.
Right.
Yeah,
yes,
so
I
really
I got
set you
it.
On your path now of what you're doing with
today. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Yes. And so often it is a life, you know, it's a life transforming moment like that, an
mm-hmm.
illness or who knows, you know, sometimes
right.
bad, sometimes better, that will kind of shake us up and go, okay, what am I up to here? And
mm-hmm.
sounds like you really, that really opened up a possibility for you that you might not have had otherwise.
Well, it did. But I'm worried that I got so involved with Meister that I didn't get the answer
oh,
for you about
oh,
how
right.
working with your own budget.
Yes, yes, yes. Working within the budget, very important. So I want to make the work that I do with women available to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
So I do some pro bono work. Actually work with an organization that provides pro bono coaching. I train their coaches so that there's pro bono coaching for women. It's called
mm-hmm.
one-to-one women coaching women. So that's available. In my own work, in my own business, I run groups of women. So it's a very affordable way to have the support of other women. We have a lot of fun. We have a secret Facebook group and, you know, I do some teaching and coaching on the phone, and, you know, it's just it's a strong, supportive community of women, and that's
mm-hmm.
a very affordable way to, you know, to dive deep into different issues. It's a safe place, and then
mm-hmm.
also to, you know, to learn some of the systems, some of the things that I've worked out to supercharge your body, you know, to really get your energy back, and then to figure out, like I said, you know, where are you headed with your core
mm-hmm.
desires.
Well, that's perfect. Now,
mm-hmm.
I realize that I'm asking about trade secrets here, but
I
understand that we need to respect that, you know, your coaching has value, and I don't want you to give it all away here. But is there any chance that you could share one or two juicy secrets that we could all use in the next 24 hours that would help
sure.
us to look and feel that 15 years younger? I mean, that's a big
sure.
promise, Lee, 15 years.
Well, I know it is. And the funny thing is there are some really simple daily habits, just very, that just, you know, you don't even really have to think about it. So this
mm-hmm.
is one, I'll share one with you that I've started doing this year that has made a huge difference in the way I look. My skin looks better. I feel better. Everything's better about my life since
mm-hmm.
I started doing this.
All
That's
right.
a big promise too, I know, but let me just tell you. And it's easy. So this is what
okay.
I do. I fill up a big glass of water at night before I go to bed. I do not drink it. That's the caveat. Do not chug
mm-hmm.
a lot of water at night because you know what's going to happen. You're going
right.
to wake up in the middle of the night, have to go to the bathroom. You're going to see some light on somewhere. That's going to activate your reticular system in your brain and go, you know, wake up time, and then you won't
mm-hmm.
be able to go back to sleep. So don't chug a bunch of water at night, but put the glass of water by your bed. And I happen to like filtered water. Some women don't like
mm-hmm.
water, but you can put a little lime juice or lemon juice
right.
in it or flavoring. And as soon as your feet hit the floor the next morning, drink that entire glass of water.
Okay.
Don't drink it with your meal. That's not good for digestion. Just drink
mm-hmm.
it when you get up, because we're actually losing a lot of water as we sleep, you know, breathing,
mm-hmm.
just breathing, and the air might be drier, especially in the winter. So just, you know, wake up, drink the water. Try it for a week and see if
mm-hmm.
you don't tell a difference. And watch your skin, too, because, you know, we're hydrating from the inside, and,
right.
and it plumps up our cells.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I bet it does, because I know I happen to, you know, now and then look at my skin on my hands or my arms and
mm-hmm.
when I'm waking up, and I've noticed sometimes, you know, that dehydrated look to the skin, you know, that little bit of wrinkles. And I'm thinking,
yes,
but during the day I don't see that. And now you've just explained it to me. I don't see that during the day because I'm hydrated more during the day.
You're hydrated. So. Yeah, we know we're supposed to be drinking water, and we do drink more, but try that first thing. And really the litmus test, you know, some people used to say or still say you have to drink 64 ounces of water or some prescribed number. Actually, everybody is different. Guess what?
Mm-hmm.
We're different. And your litmus test is just look at your urine, look in the toilet. If it's about the color of lemonade, you're hydrated.
Okay.
If it's any darker, you need to drink more. That's
mm-hmm.
that's the rule of thumb.
Excellent. That's an
yeah.
easy thing to keep
awesome.
In mind.
Yep. Thinking of, oh, let me give everybody a gift, if I can, for,
sure.
and this will help with sleep, all right?
Mm-hmm.
The sleep idea is, you know, what I want is for everybody to know whether they're sleep deprived. You know, we talk a lot about that. You know, everybody's so sleep deprived. Well, how do you know if you're sleep deprived? So I have an assessment. It's called How Tired is Too Tired?
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're sleep deprived, if you're sleep deprived or you're, you know, sleepy all the time, you're putting yourself at risk. You know, your health is suffering.
Mm-hmm.
It's making you gain weight around the middle. We know that. And it's putting your loved ones at risk because your risk of motor accidents are higher.
Mm-hmm.
So all bad stuff. So you want to be getting good sleep. And you, this is an assessment really quick. It'll take you, I don't know, a couple of minutes at the most to figure out if you have a sleep disorder or need to see about it.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you don't, you know.
Right.
Okay. So the, okay, Lee, where is that? There we go. It's, can I just give you the website now?
Sure.
All right. And I'll be happy to send it to you if you want to put it up on the website. It's,
okay, I'll do.
Okay, great. It's http://, so no W's, bit.ly/sosleepy, SOSLEEPY.
Okay.
And that's the How Tired is Too Tired assessment.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well,
enjoy that.
As a person who had, maybe we should say has, sleep apnea because I use a machine dedicatedly every night, I can tell you that I was very much sleep deprived, and that was part of the reason that I would, you know, spend those busy days when I was working. You know, there was always hard candy that I had access to because that was easy to throw in my purse and, you know, grab. But still, one of the things that was a problem for me being as sleepy as I was due to the sleep apnea, meaning that I wasn't getting a thorough night's sleep, even though I thought I was, is that I couldn't do something like sit quietly in church or drive any length of time without wanting to fall asleep.
Right.
And
see?
So I would actually have to drive, if I had a lengthy drive to make, you know, like a couple of hours, I would have to plan that I was going to have to stop like after an hour, and I would run around the car because just having a window open or having the radio on, that was not enough to keep me
that
awake.
That didn't do it. Wow.
No.
Scary.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
You know.
And I used to, I used to be sleep deprived too, and I would eat. I was having to drive a lot, and I would just have a seat full of snacks, and I was just
munch
to keep myself awake. That's not good.
No, it's not. But I was in that league too. So I totally am wonderfully delighted that you're telling people about how to find out if they're sleep deprived, and once they find out, you know, they can then work on what to do about it. So that is excellent information, and thank you for sharing that website.
You're welcome.
I'm looking at the clock here and seeing that we're pretty close to the hour. So is there anything that we haven't covered that you want to share with the women who are listening?
Oh, parting thoughts. Well, if I could if I could implant one thing in every woman's mind is you are awesome. Whether you realize it or not, you are a tremendously powerful woman. And this time in your life can be a rich opportunity. You can have pleasure, vibrant health, and freedom beyond anything you've ever imagined. You know, this is our time.
Mm-hmm.
When you know how to truly take care of yourself. And the other part is we're all in this together. You know, if what I found is if we appreciate one another and we play together, each one of us is lifted up because we've been mm-hmm. going it alone, right? We've been lone wolf, doing it all by ourselves up for a lot of years.
Mm-hmm.
But what I know now is the real joy comes from us taking the journey together and asking for support, being vulnerable, and lifting up the women who are walking with us so we can all keep going.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Thank you.
Sure. Now, we do not want to forget that you discussed earlier in the call that you have a gift for the women that are listening, the women of NABBW.
Yes.
So can you tell us a little bit about that right now before we
sure.
the call?
So we talked a little about Spark, about my signature system that I've developed. And what I'd love is to share a free report with the women. It's called Spark Your Vibrant Life. And it has secrets to kickstart your body's natural ability to shed pounds,
mm-hmm.
how to unlock your hidden energy, and the two-step process I've used to bring in my dream man, who I'm married to now, my dream
Excellent.
Job. Yeah, 11 years. We got married when I was 52.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, quick two-step to bring in my dream man, my dream job, and my dream life, and it works like clockwork. So all of that's in
Wonderful.
The free report, and I would love to share that with all the women on the call. And that, this is, I'll give this to you as well, but just for now, it's another http://bit.ly, it's bit.ly, and then
mm-hmm.
/ and then free Spark report, free Spark report. And I'll give
okay.
that to Anne, and you can put that up on the website and or embed it or something.
Mm-hmm.
Something cool. Ask your husband how to do that.
Right. Excellent. Thank you very much.
You're
I think
welcome.
That sounds like a wonderful gift, and I appreciate it. And I'll say thank you for the people that will not be on the call right now, but will download it and appreciate it too.
Oh, you're
so
welcome. Happy to share
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, it's just been great talking with you today, Lee, just like it always is. So
Uh-oh.
I want to thank you for being my guest and for this great discussion. And I'll give you one more chance. Is there anything else that you'd like to say before we wrap up the call?
Oh, man, just how much I appreciate you and how inspired I am just to see what women are up to in the world. And I love being part of that, and I love having this time together to hang out with you and I can feel the women, you know, who will be listening
mm-hmm.
to this. I just feel like we're all in the living room hanging out together, you know, having a cold drink and
mm-hmm.
sharing our lives and helping each other. It's sweet. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're absolutely welcome, and it's well-deserved. Thank you very much, Lee, again, Lee S. Irwin. And I want to tell you that anyone who's listening who has any questions for Lee after the call, you can feel free to email them to her. And the easiest way that I'm aware of to do that, Lee, is to go to your website and use
mm-hmm.
the handy form that you have there. And so I'll tell people your website is, should we start with the HTTP?
Yeah,
colon
just
slash
www is fine.
www
mm-hmm.
is fine. All right,
mm-hmm.
Lee, L-E-E-S, Irwin, I-R-W-I-N. .com. So www.leeserwin.com. And when you get there, there's a handy form that you'll be able to use to ask any questions from Lee.
Sure. Yeah. Call me or send me an email. I'll be happy to respond. Thank you.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. And if anybody listening would like to know more about the National Association of Baby Boomer Women, you can find us in a number of places online, including our website at nabbw.com. our forum, which is at boomerwomenspeak.com, or the Facebook page, which Lee mentioned earlier is how she originally found us, which is at facebook.com/NABBW. So that is it for us this afternoon. Thank you very much, Lee. Thank you, everybody who has joined us. And I'm going to say bye.
Thank you, Anne. Bye-bye.
Bye.